All right. Thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to continue a little further in what we've been on our subject. Chapters 36 through about 39. I'm not sure how far I'll go. We're in chapter 38 today, and we'll move a little further in that. And of course, it's very pertinent. It's very current because of the news of what's going on over with Russia and the Ukraine and all that business. And so interesting to me that God wrote it all ahead of time. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get in Congress or and just line it out for them and say, all right, this is what you're dealing with? Well, that's not going to happen. We understand that. But the Bible's already written it ahead of time, and that's a truth that we as Bible believers know. So even when we are hearing about earthquakes and all the things that was predicted for the last days, the good side of that is Jesus is coming. Amen? Do you understand also when Jesus, I'm just talking a little bit here now, when Jesus mentioned earthquakes in divers places, do you know when he told that if an earthquake happened here and it was 200 miles over here, they wouldn't hear about it? I mean, it could happen in all places in the world, they wouldn't have heard about it. But now you hear about it everywhere because we've got the equipment now, we got the technology now that it flashes around the world. So it's an interesting thing how that fits the description of the sign. My brother Mike Mullins, our missionary over in Chile, was just with us and came back through just for a night here. And he said, you know, about the time he got here, in fact, he was on the plane when the big earthquake hit over there. But of course, he's in contact with his people over there. And he said it's been almost continuous now, one shock after another, another little earthquake in another place. And as of just a few days ago, he said, still going. And amazing thing, though, that the world doesn't pay any attention much, but they are one of these days. Amen? Here in Ezekiel, we have the prediction that we know much of this is fulfilled. If we went all the way back to chapter 36 and talked about the bones coming together, and that was Israel being resurrected from the graves of the nations where they'd been scattered. We talked about that. That's the history. That they flew their flag on May 14th, 1948. And then they took Jerusalem and as a whole city in 1967. And here we are now in 2014. Most of us, and myself in particular, thought 1967 things were going to just wrap up real fast. But they've continued to flesh out the skeleton. They've continued, and it takes time in time to do things. And God works that way. But all that's been predicted is coming true. Now, could this be the news today? Could this be the trigger that's about to be pulled to start what some call the Third World War, as predicted here in the Bible? The nuclear war, the one where we see the description of a nuclear blast that people reading this book over 2,000 years ago, in fact, it's about 2,700 years old, this book is, from the time Ezekiel wrote it. By the way, you can go over and find his grave. He was a well-known prophet. Even the Muslims know about Ezekiel and so forth. Anyway, what we are reading, written all that long time ago, we see being fulfilled in our headlines today. If we were looking at a play, we would say that all the characters are out on stage, ready to start. They're all in the positions. All the nations are lined up exactly where God said they would be here in the book of Ezekiel. Many of them with the very names we recognize. We recognize Iran today, and here it's called Persia, but they only named it Iran in less about 100 years ago, a little less than 100 years ago. So it was Persia, and interesting thing how it's all being fulfilled. Now I want to go ahead in chapter 38 a little bit and start in about verse 11. Now God is told what this coalition will be. He's warned them about Magog, Gog and Magog, and we've discovered in verse 2 that we're talking about Moscow and Tobolsky, cities in Russia. This is Russia. In fact, if you drew a line, listen, when you read the Bible, God talks about directions. much of the time he's talking about directions as if you were standing in the middle of Jerusalem and looking. And if you stood in the middle of Jerusalem and you read in this verses here, that it'll be the northern nations, northern powers united. If you drew a straight line from Jerusalem north, you would run right through the city of Moscow. So the direction alone tells you where it's coming from, where these this northern coalition of nations is going to come from. So I don't like that. Well, God wrote it, complained to him. And the truth is, he wrote it for our benefit, wrote it where we could be warned. And so when we read it, I'm excited to know nothing surprises God, aren't you? I've often said this, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? He already knows the end from the beginning. We need to understand that. So he gave it to us ahead of time. Now, I get over here in chapter 38 and start at verse 11, kind of jumping in where we left off. And thou shalt say, I will go up. He's talking to this group now, telling them what they're thinking. Thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. Let me park there just a second. Jerusalem as a whole is unwalled. Now, the old city, which is a small part of Jerusalem now, has some of the walls about it. But walls was the means of defense in the old days. We're in the days when cities don't build walls around them for defense. They plant missiles in the ground and so forth. But they don't build walls. Now, we're trying to build one between us and Mexico, but it's never going to be done, don't look like, and not doing much good anyway. But with the description here, unwalled villages, that would describe Israel today. And I will go to them that are at rest. That's what this northern crowd is thinking here now, this evil crowd headed up basically by the nation of Russia. I go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Now, some think that we're getting very close to this because they're going to be dwelling in peace, seemingly trusting something else to protect them. Right now in the current news with John Kerry, Secretary John Kerry, and the whole presidential Washington administration, and in fact the last couple of administrations, all the way back Bill Clinton, they all have been trying to pressure Israel into a peace treaty. And if you remember the scene, President Clinton stood and he took the Arab, Arafat, by one hand, and Malcolm Bacon, the Jewish leader, and he made them shake hands on TV. Anybody remember that? You remember what the date was? It was September the 13th. I'm trying to think of the year, but I get to September the 13th because that was my son's birthday. And I've always kidded him that it was an ominous time that he was born, that his birthday marked something tragic in the future. I've joked with him when he was a kid. He's gone right now today off up in West Virginia, and his mother went with him. So I'm real lonely today. Nobody around the house to tell me to put my shoes in the closet. Get my clothes off the bed. I'd stand a little bit of that, as long as it don't get too long. Amen. All right, back to the scripture. Anyway, unwalled, safely. And if we see this peace treaty signed, and the peace treaty already exists, folks. It's existed from the time of Jimmy Carter as president on. But they never could get it all signed. Arafat was afraid to sign it, afraid he'd get killed. And Netanyahu knows better than to sign it. So it's still unsigned. And it may be tweaked a little bit, but it's there. It's ready to be signed, and it's going to happen one of these days. And we know the Bible identifies it and how it will be deceptive, how it will seem like they're going to have peace, but it won't be peace. And how basically it's going to be under the control of the Antichrist. I'm don't get off too much in that right now. Right here in the verse, though, this crowd that's coming against Israel, against Jerusalem, going to see them as unwalled, unprotected. So it says in verse 12, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited. Now that describes Israel. They were desolate. Now they're blossoming like a rose, like the Bible predicted, and they're inhabited. And it says, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. Boy, that identifies them. The Jews have come back from every nation on earth, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Their economy-wise, they have flourished in these last number of years. So this group is coming, it says, to take a spoil, to rob them. And of course, part of that would not only be the minerals in the Dead Sea or the diamond mines, but would also be the land. Because that's the whole thing. The Arab nations say Israel does not have a right to exist. And they don't. When you look at a map, if you go over to the Islam nations and you look at a world map, Israel is not on it. They absolutely would not put it on the map because they believe they're going to take it, they're going to destroy the Jews, and it's going to be their capital. And so it's not on their maps. Anyway, here we are. They're going to come to this group of people that's gathered out of the nations, that's got cattle and goods. And then it names some of these names here. It says Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish. Now, you can look these up. Dedan is right there at the near the Gulf of Aqaba. You'd see it on a map. If you look, it's a little place. And you can check out Sheba and Dedan and Tarshish. Many believe that Tarshish here is speaking of England. And it very likely is. Now, verse 13. And by the way, if you want to do some deep study, you can trace these names. You go back to the genealogies in Genesis and trace out where these people settled. And you can look on a modern map and find out what nations that it's talking about. Now, that's a little tedious, but it's possible. And I've done it a time or two in the past. But right here, it's naming some names. And you can see that little place called Dedan right there. It's right in the heart of things. And notice this statement, though, with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee. Now, here's a northern power moving down. Sheba, Dedan, merchants of Tarshish, the young lions, they'll say, what are you doing? What's your plans? You know what we're doing right now? We're asking Mr. Putin what his plans are. We're talking. We're so good at talking. When I was in grammar school, you didn't get locked up in jail for fist fighting. I know you can now, and I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying things were different then. And I've been there myself, and I've seen little boys stand toe-to-toe, just arguing and about to fight. Anybody ever seen that? We used to take our shoe and draw a line and say, I dare you step over that line. He'd step over the line, we'd back up and draw another one. That's what we've been doing with Russia and all that crowd for years and years, just talking and drawing lines. We call them red lines now. They don't amount to a thing. And Russia knows that, amen. But anyway, that's what's going on here, a bunch of talk. Now, who are the young lions? Question comes up, is the USA in the Bible? And it's argued by some it is, and argued by some it's not. I can tell you this much, there's several verses it fits in. Psalmist said, the wicked shall be cast into hell and all nations that forget God. You know where we're at? We're in that all. Boy, we're in that all right now. I mean, we've been forgetting God in our actions and not like never before in our history. We're in that verse, no doubt. So yeah, it's in the Bible in that sense. Is it specifically named where you can identify it? No, I don't think so. But I would say this, if this is Tarshish, England, and I believe it is, then who would be the young lions? Do you understand that England is identified by the lion? You go over and see the big statue of the lion sitting outside the buildings. You ever hear of a king named Richard the Lionhearted? England through history is identified with the lion, just like we like to identify America with the eagle and so forth. It's interesting that almost all nations have as their mascot or their symbol some kind of ferocious beast. Did you know that? What's Russia, the bear? Do you know a nation that has chosen a dove? No, you don't. You know, even the eagle, he's a bird of prey and can actually kill a man if he catches him just right. So here, the young lions. Now, if you took England as the lion, and I think this is fair enough, who would be the young lions? Who came from England? Didn't America? Didn't Canada? That'd be plural, wouldn't it? That'd be two. And maybe some might want to count Australia or some other places. Okay, but all the young lions are saying, did you come to take a spoil? What are you planning on doing? That's what we're asking Mr. Putin right now. You gonna take Ukraine? Sarah Palin said during the election that that's what Russia would do. Boy, was she ever right. And say, did she have a crystal ball? No, she did know a little Bible. I was talking to a guy recently. He knows her. He's up there in Alaska some and has met with her a few times. And he asked her, he said, what hope is there for America? And she gave a good answer. She said, 2 Chronicles 7:14. That was her answer, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, for you that know, that was written, of course, to Israel. And it was written during the time of Solomon's temple, where the Lord told Solomon that if the people sinned and he had to bring judgment on them, the way to get out from all that judgment was to come back. If my people that are called by my name, well, that was the Jews, but it's also you and I that are built on a Jewish foundation, Judeo-Christian foundation. And what America needs to do, if they're going to get out from under God's judgment, is return, just like the Jews were told. And it's still the only answer. And glad to hear her say it, but of course you know how she became under attack for her Christianity and for her stand and all of that. You understand that? Say, that's politics. No, it's good sense. It's good Bible sense to repent and come back to God and get out from under the chastening rod and get on the fountain of blessings. That's good sense. Anyway, here's the young lions. Maybe that includes Canada and America, and I think it does. And they're going to be in the talking part here. They're going to be asking, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? To carry away silver and gold? To take away cattle and goods? To take a great spoil? Isn't that what we're saying right now? Isn't that the talk at the United Nations, United Nuts, whatever you want to call them? And America's in some danger, whether you know it or not, folks. Now, the Bible tells us there is going to be nuclear exchanges. We know, apparently, even at the Battle of Armageddon, God is going to send a particular plague that identifies with a nuclear blast. But before that, we're dealing right now, I think, in a time setting where we could see this thing that's described in Ezekiel. It could happen next week. It could start any time. Will it? I don't know. I think they'll talk on a while, but we're in some danger. While we're destroying our missiles, the other countries are getting them. In fact, I believe Brother Ken Lee gave me this last week. I don't know. I might have took it out of my Bible. Probably did. No, here it is. Here's the thing about Saudi Arabia. They went out for the first time and paraded their nuclear missiles, showing, and by the way, they consider Iran as being their enemy, because if Iran gets the missiles, gets the nuclear missiles, they're going to shoot them at Israel, but Saudi Arabia is afraid of them also, even though both of them are so-called Muslim countries. What you need to understand on that, though, is there was warfare all the way back in your Bible days in the book of Daniel, when the Medes and Persians came in and took Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. When they took over the kingdom, they have never been, those two groups of people, the Medes and the Persians, against the Babylonian, what we would call Arabs today. Muhammad hadn't even been born yet. But those two races of people have been against each other ever since those Bible days. And you go over today and talk to them, and you'd think it happened last week. They're still fussing about it. 2,500 years, more than that, 3,000 almost years ago, they're still fussing about the Medes and Persians coming in and taking Babylon. See, we had war between Iraq and Iran. That's all that was about. Saddam Hussein against the old Persia, against the Persians that had come in at one time and taken Babylon. All right, read the book of Daniel. It's more up to date than your newspaper, amen? But here's the paper. And by the way, this is respectable. This is just not garbage off the internet. And there's a lot of garbage on it. This is the Debka files. And they, for years and years, have had great respect of the information they put out because they're military. Their study is of the military of the nations and so forth, and they're pretty accurate. They're very accurate. And they say that Saudi Arabia come out in their military parade and demonstrated, not only does Iran have it, we want them to know we have it. So if they shoot at us, we're going to shoot back. Say, where'd they get it? Same place all of them's getting it. Oh yeah, they get it from Pakistan and India and Russia and China and all those places. That's where they get it. All of those originally stole it from America after World War II. I'll get off in that. But, some of you older folks know your history a little bit. But there's some real threat. So the question comes about, is the USA in prophecy? Some believe the reason it's not clearly identified, even by name, you got to remember something, folks, we're young. Do you notice the text I read, the young lions? Do you know we're not that old as a nation? And even if you go back from the time the colonies were settled, we're young. But if you go back to 1776, when we declared ourselves independent of England, that's not very long ago, a little over 200 years. So we are young in that sense. Now, moving on with it just a little bit here, I want to say that we have a false sense of security and have had it for many years in America. God blessed us to have an ocean on one side and on the other side, and friendly nations like Canada to the north of us, and basically friendly with Mexico to the south. We've been blessed to be protected. And while there was some attack during World War II on the mainland, it didn't get much news. It was very hard for the Germans to reach over here and so forth. But now we're in a different age. We're talking about things happening in a matter of minutes that would have taken months in the World War II to make happen. So, yeah, we are in some danger. And so the question comes, does America get annihilated? And some believe that. And I can't say no, I can't say yes. But it's a possibility. Would we be destroyed? Now, I'll say this, and this is, well, I've been here 43 years as pastor. At least a year, if not a year and a half, before I left the country church, I was there 3 years, I got a hold of some information, trustworthy, and I talked some about this. And it's somewhat been mentioned, often known, through the years a little bit by somebody, but not much. This, and I got a thing here. This occurred not long ago on Judge Jeanine's program on Fox News. Now, how many of you know? All right, several hands. By the way, I recommend watching Fox News. They won't always get it right, and they're more liberal than me, but nothing as bad as the other networks. The other networks are absolutely biased as they can be on the liberal anti-God side as a whole. Now, here's a transcript, and I can't read all of it, but I'm going to read some of it to you this morning. She's saying here, introducing, that she's realized how fragile life could be and how ill-prepared we are for this. Now, what's she talking about? She's talking about the electric grid, electric power structure in America. Now, let's think about what that is. That's the lights, that's the air conditioner, that's the refrigerator. But it's also your computer in most cases. Your battery won't last forever without a little fresh juice in it. And if all of a sudden it was destroyed, I don't mean just a blackout. I don't mean for a week or two. I mean if it was gone, what kind of mess would we be in? And there is a plan to do that. She went to a meeting and got some of this. And like I say, I've taught it over 40 years ago. And so it's not brand new, but it's just that people don't want to believe it. Here we are. She said, are we ready for a terror attack? She said, who could have ever envisioned 9/11 happening? Well, some did, but she says what's about to happen is not a question of if it will happen, but when it will happen. And then she goes on down here. It's called an electromagnetic pulse. For short, it's EMP. And I've seen that, and you have too, probably. And it's probably even been mentioned in the news a little bit. It's used to be a theory. When I first taught about it over 40 years ago, they had some prototypes, ideas, and so forth. We're talking about over 40 years of advancement now since then. EMP, electromagnetic pulse, which could destroy all and everything that's electrical. Anything with an on and off switch, anything to power. She says hot water heater, refrigerator, dialysis machine, hospitals are closed, grocery shelves are empty. Most of the food you have at home is spoiled. You forget about your bank accounts. What you have in your pockets, all you'll have. And by the way, you can bury it in a can in the backyard, but paper probably not be worth the can. But anyway, that's first Mickey's second verse. I imagine myself working up to total darkness. She goes on about how bad it would be. Now she tells you how this could happen, and I'm skipping a lot here. How it would happen. It could happen by a solar flare. Now that would be nature or God. Did you see recently where they discovered a piece of the sun missing? How many of you saw? Anybody see that? One hand, two hands, where they saw a piece of the sun missing? And they finally discovered that it was just pretty much a different kind of heat, but actually what it was a big solar flare. Do you know what protects the earth from being burned up by the sun? Is our magnetic field. You understand that? So here we're talking about something that could just destroy us quick. That's a big enough piece of the sun coming at us, a solar flare. Next thing that would happen would be the electromagnetic pulse. Now let me explain what that is. And there's two or three other things. A nuclear exchange might do it. And of course you got these computer hackers trying to break in and get into the electrical grid, and so all that is possible. But the big thing is the electromagnetic pulse. Now here's what you need to know about it. A satellite orbiting the earth, we got plenty of them. If somebody was able or did want to put a big enough nuclear weapon on the satellite, and they explode it. This was the plan is over 40 years ago. I studied this. Shoot a bomb off in space, not come down and hit Washington necessarily with it, but up in space. And it spreads out and destroys all of our electricity, the electric grid. And that's why it is called the electromagnetic pulse, because it has the potential to do that. And listen, you see those rockets they shoot off, hundreds of thousands of pounds going up there. We got a space station up there. By the way, we're having to hitchhike a ride to the space station with Russia. That's interesting, isn't it? My soul. Anyway, if they put that thing up there and explode it, they have the potential of destroying the whole electric grid in America. Now, do you remember recently? I say recently, a year, maybe it's been that much. little more, a little less. A year ago when China sent up their own satellite or had one up there that had quit functioning, so they shot it out of the sky with a missile. Anybody remember that? Now, they didn't do that just because they wanted to get rid of it. All kind of space junk's going up there. They didn't need it. They were sending a message. And the message was, we can shoot our satellite out of the sky. We can just as well shoot yours out of the sky. That's where we're at right now, folks. Say, is all that in the Bible? Well, pretty much. Pretty much. When you read Ezekiel here, 38, you find these nations gathering against Israel like we see them doing today. We are hearing the talk of the peace treaty today. These nations are going to come, and if we have another lesson or two in Ezekiel here, we'll find out the destruction that comes from all this when it comes. And some of it is from God, and some of it just may be that God lets man's own inventions backfire on him. And that could very, very well be. I know God's still in control. One nuclear bomb can't explode if he stopped the natural laws that man has harnessed to do that with. So I'm glad to know my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not surprised by any of it. God wrote it in his book 2,700 years ago. I'm just going to read it and believe it. And if I had any inclination to not believe it, the headlines ought to tell me that it's being fulfilled. Amen? Well, we say, you glad of that? No, I'm glad Jesus is coming. Say, you got a bomb shelter? No, I don't have a hole in the ground. I'm